Today, Shiras HaMasechta Bava Basra on Daf Ayin Gimel. We will begin on Daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis, seven lines from the bottom of the Amid, with the third word on the line, Amar Rav Huna. In today's Shir, we will be learning the stories of Rabba Bar Bar Chana, which are from the most enigmatic, fascinating, and esoteric stories found in the entire Shas. This will begin on Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph. But before we get to those fascinating stories of Rabba Bar Bar Chana, we need to complete Perek HaMoicher HaSavayis and then begin Perek HaMoicher HaSasvina before we get to those stories in the middle of Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, said Rav Huna, Churav HaMurkav, this tree that we've been speaking about throughout this Perek, the sycamore, the carob tree, which is grafted, and therefore it's very chashuv. It's an older tree and it has a lot of chashivas. The sadan hashikma and the pruned sycamore tree, which as well is a very chashuv tree. So Rav Huna tells us that sometimes Torah's ilan alav, sometimes it has a halacha of a tree, and sometimes with Torah's karkalov, it has a halacha of karka. And now Rav Huna explains, Torah's ilan alav, it has a halacha of a tree like any other tree, although it's more chashuv than other trees. The hecha, the agdish, oizav and shnei ilonis v'hai, in a case where he was magdish, or he sold two trees and this tree, the charuv and the sikma. We learned before on Amid Aleph that when someone's magdish three trees, he automatically is giving karka with it, even if you hold on two trees or one tree, Hamagdish is Ba'ayin Rohu Magdish, but when it comes to three trees, he's definitely giving to Hegdish the karka so that the trees can get the nutrients from that karka. And so too, further on Daf Pei Aleph Amid Aleph, we learn concerning Mecher, that if somebody sells three trees, he's also selling the karka with it. So the halacha will be, if he sells two trees, V'hai and the Charuv, or the Sikma, Yesh Loikarka. So the Hegdish gets with it the karka, or the Lekeach gets with it the karka, because here we look at this chush of a tree as if it's nothing other than a tree, and it joins the other two trees. It becomes three trees, and there's a halacha that three trees are not sold by themselves, but rather they're sold with the karka. So that's the halacha where it has a din of Elon. Where do we find that the Churuv and the Sikma have a halacha of karka, Torah's karka, love? Deloim is Dabin Agav Arab. That if you sold a piece of property which has on it the churuv hamurkov or the sadan hasikma, as we learned before in the Mishnah, at the bottom of Daf Samaches Amid Beis, that it's considered, as the Rashbam told us there, that even if you were to write v'chol masher b'toich, it's considered like you're selling two fields, and in the middle of the two fields, there's a third field, and that's not included in the other two fields. So this Churuv HaMurkav and Sadan HaSikma has a halacha because of its chashivas in this case, that it has a din of a separate piece of karka. You sold one sada, you did not sell with it the other sada. Now we're going to find a similar halacha, and the only reason we bring it down is because Rav Huna is saying this memra as well, and concerning a halacha of shikra, he's also going to have an item that sometimes has one halacha and sometimes it has another halacha, similar to what we just learned about the Churuv HaMurkav and the Sadan HaSikma. V'amar Rav Huna. And before we get into this Gemara, let's make a brief hakdama. We find in Dvorim Perek Chavdal, the Pasuk Yates, the Pasuk says, concerning Shikha, V'shachachta Oimer Basadeh, you will forget a sheaf in the field. And the Chazal learned that one or two sheaves has halacha of shikha, but from this, the Sifri, as the Rashbam brings down, tells us, v'loy gadish, that if there was a stack that you forgot, you went further and you did not harvest that stack. So the stack, there's no halacha of shikha on. It's only one or two sheaves. Then the pasuk continues, loy sashiv lekachtoy, don't go back to retrieve that which you forgot, but rather, it is part of the matnas aniyim. Lema'ute, says the Sifri, that Oimer sheyesh b'sasayim, you have one sheaf, but it has in it two saws, which is equal to 12 kabayim, which is equal to 288 bayim. So as the Rashbam says, it's not taken bepam achas yafa. It's a very large and heavy sheaf. And therefore, even though it's only one, it's not easily taken. So from the word lekachdoi, we're memayat that this is not easily taken. And therefore, on this too, there is no din of shikha. So therefore, it comes out that either when you have a gadish, which is three or more sheaves together, that's considered a stack, and on that there's never chaladin of shikha. Even if you forgot it, you can go back and get it. It does not belong to the aniyim. And likewise, even if it's one sheaf, but that one is large as two sasayim, then also there's no halacha of shikhas. Now comes Rav Huna's halacha. V'yomer Rav Huna, oimer sheyesh v'sasayim, a sheaf, one individual sheaf which has in it the volume of two saws. So sometimes Tyrus Oimer Alav, and sometimes Tyrus Gadish Alav. Sometimes I look at it as one sheaf, and other times I look at it as a stack. Tyrus Oimer Alav, where's the case where you look at it as a sheaf, as nothing other than any other sheaf, even though it's much bigger? That will be in the following halacha. The Shnei Oimrim Shikha. If somebody forgot two sheaves individually at Shikha, Shnayim Vehu Einon Shikha. But let's say you forgot two and then this one. So here we look at it as just another sheaf, and we say you left over three, and three is considered a Gadish, a stack, and there's no halacha of Shikha. We don't say that since the one big sheaf by itself, that's Sasayim, in and of its own right, it would not be shikha. So therefore, that's separated from the other two. On that one, the otak could not be shikha. But on the other two, since all you're left is with two, there will be a din shikha. No, we don't say that. We say that this one big one, which is sasayim, joins the other two, becomes three, and then all three together are considered a gadish, and there is no halacha of shikha. That's when we look at this large sheaf as being a regular sheaf. And then there's another halacha that sometimes Tarvish Gadish Alav, sometimes we look at it as a stack, the snan. We learned in the Mishnah in Masech Tepeya, Oimer Sheyesh Basasayim, if you have one sheaf that has in it two saws, it's that big, and the Bach puts in a vav now, Vishachoy, and he forgot it. If it's alone, then ain't shikha. It does not have halacha of shikha. There it has halacha of a Gadish. So sometimes this large sheaf will have a din of any other Omer, and therefore it will join with the other two, and it'll be a Gadish, all three together. There will not be a din shikha on any of the three, and sometimes it will have halacha separate, as in and of itself, that it has a din of a Gadish, because it's so large, and it will not have a din of shikha. And now the final halacha of this perek is given by none other than Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Resh Lakish. I found it interesting that we're going to be learning the stories of Rabba Bar Chana, and the last halach in the previous perek is also given by Rabba Bar Chana. Said Rabba Bar Chana the name of Resh Lakish, and this has to do with the sugi that we're in now, the Churuv Hamurkav and the Sadna Shikma. In these two trees, Bonu L'machlaikis Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi Rabbanin. We find the Machlaikis Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanin. Explains the Rashbam that as we learned in yesterday's shir on the top of this Amud, that the Gemara proved that Reb Shimon Shita is that Hamagdish Ba'ain Rohu Magdish, as we saw from the Brisa on Amud Aleph concerning the Stei Ilon. And then we said there's a steer with Reb Shimon in the Mishnah on Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, because there Reb Shimon says that when you're Magdish a Churuv and a Sikma, you're magdish the karka, and then they are yoinik from the karka, and therefore you're magdish them as well also, to hegdish. So it would seem, from the Mishnah, the Rav Shimon holds, that ha-magdish b'ayin yafa magdish, that when he's magdish the sada to hegdish, he was also magdish the karka that's underneath those chasheva trees. And once he's magdish the karka, then he has to be magdish the trees as well, because they get their nutrients from the karka, from hegdish. So it would be L'chayra, Stira, and Reb Shimon. From the Mishnah, is Mashma, Magdish, Bayin, Yafu, Magdish. From the Baraisa, on Ayin Alpha, Madalf, it's on Ayin Beis, Madalf, it's Mashma, that Magdish, Bayin, Rome, Magdish. And the answer we gave at the top of this Amud was that really Reb Shimon Shita is HaMagdish B'ayin Rohu Magdish. And he was only speaking Shita's Chachamim. According to you, Chachamim, that you hold, that by Mecher is B'ayin Rohu Magdish. You disagree with Reb Shimon. Excuse me, you disagree with Rabbi Akiva, who holds B'ayin Yafa, whom a Moicher is B'ayin Yafa. You, Rabban, hold a Moicher is B'ayin Ra. But by Magdish, you make a chilek and you say that Hamagdish is ba'ayin yafu magdish. And you go to an extreme because you also include in that a gas and a shayvach and a boyer. So what I'm trying to tell you is my sheet is that nothing is hegdish except the soda. The karka under the churuv and the sikma are not hegdish. The churuv and the sikma are not hegdish. The gas and the boar and the shayvach are not hegdish. Nothing is hegdish except the shayvach, except the sada, because hamagdish b'ayin rohu magdish. But even l'shitascha, that you want to make a chilek between mecher and hegdish, at least don't go to an extreme and just be magdish the karka that's under the churuv and the sikma. And the mele, the churuv and the sikma will also have to become hegdish. But don't go to so far an extent that something has nothing to do with the karka, like a gas and a shayvach, that should also be included with the field. That's what I'm telling you not to do. But my shita is like the brice on Amid Aleph. I'm ein based Amid Aleph. That I'm magdish by ein rohu magdish. So the same achloikis that we come out to Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, that is the same achloikis Reb Nachman Bar Yosi and Rabbanan, and Reb Nachman Bar Yosi holds like Reb Shimon. That's the statement of Rabbi Baruch Hanan in the name of Reb Shlokish. That's the Kabbalah that Reb Shlokish had, that Reb Shimon has a partner, and his partner is Reb Nachman Bar Yosi. As we turn to Ein Gimel Amid Aleph, the lema machloikis Reb Shimon Rabbanan explains the Rashbam. Since from our Mishnah on Ayin Alf, it's Mashma, the Reb Shimon holds a Magdish B'ayin Yafahu Magdish, and that's why the Karka under the Chiruv and the Sikma are Hegdish. And that's why it follows that the Chiruv and the Sikma also are Hegdish. So you want to tell me, no, the Reb Shimon is just speaking L'shitas Chachamim, so why doesn't Rish Lakish tell me the Machlaikis between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim? I might think that Reb Shimon is Moited to the Rabbanan that a Magdish B'ayin Yafahu Magdish. So that itself would be a tremendous Chiddish. Why do you bring in Reb Nachman Bar Yosi? Why don't you tell me this Chiddish? Answers the Gemara, the way the Rashbam explains that wouldn't be a chiddush, because that I could figure out myself, because otherwise I have a steer between the Braisa on Ein Beis Amid Aleph and the Mishnah on Ein Alpha Amid Aleph. The only way I can answer it is that Reb Shimon holds a Magdish by Ein Rohu Magdish, and when he was speaking in the Mishnah, he was speaking L'shitaschem of the Chachamim. So I could figure that out myself, that there has to be a machlokes between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan. The Mela, the bigger chiddush that Rish Lakish wanted to tell us was, HaKamashimon, the Reb Nachem Reb Yosi, Reb Shimon Sfirlei, the Reb Shimon, it's not his own shita. He has a partner, and who's that partner? Reb Nachman Rabbi Yosi. That's the chiddush that Rish Lakish wants to convey. The other chiddush we could figure out by ourselves. For all of those who have finished this perek, Hadron Aloch Hamoicher Sabayis, Hadron Aloch Hamoicher Sabayis, Hadron Aloch Hamoicher Es Sabayis. And now we begin perek Hamoicher Es Hasvina, and similar to the items that were sold in the last perek, the house, the sada, the ear, where he wrote in the shtar stum, he didn't explain what he was including in the sale. So to hear when someone sells a boat, a ship, hamoicher es hasvina, what's included in that sale? Mocher es haturin, and all these things that we're going to discuss now are explained in the Gemara. Mocher es haturin, he sold the mast. Vesanes, the sail, Vesaugin, the anchor, Veskolaman Higunois, and all the items such as the ropes and the oars that caused the boat to be led, to be driven. Avaloi Mochar, he did not sell, it's not included in the sail. Loyas Avodim, not the slaves who work on the boat, who can work in a different job or on a different boat. Veloi Es Hamartsofen, and not the sacks that contain the cargo. Veloyas Antiki, and not the cargo itself. There is Ubizman, Sha'omrloi, he, Vachomashbetoicha. And if he wrote in the shtar that included on the boat is everything that's in the boat, and the Rishash points out, and these things are at that time lying in the boat, then Hare Kulamachum, then they're all sold. So, Toisvis and Divyamas HaMarcha Svina points out that in the Rishah, when we said, Veloyes Antiki, that the cargo is not sold, that's not a chiddush. If the sacks that contain the cargo, if the martufen are not sold, so certainly the antiki is not sold. But rather, he needs it because of the seifa. In the seifa, it's stated that if he writes kol mashu b'toicha, so these items are included as well. So the chiddush is, it's not only included the martufen, the sacks, but even the antiki, the cargo that's in the sacks, the moicher cannot take it with him. He has to leave it for the lekech. If he wrote kol mashu b'toicha, and these items are found then in the boat, that's included in the sale. That's the chiddush, and because of the seifa, that's why he said the resha as well, explains Tosfos. The Rashbam tells us that in this Mishnah, we do not find a chilek between mecher versus hegdish or matana. In the previous Mishnahs, for example, in the case of hamoicher sasada, where we said the gas and the Shaivach and the Bor were not included. But if it was Magdish or gave it as a Matana, it was included. In our Mishnah, we don't find the Chilek. The Rashbam explains, because there's a fundamental difference between the items that are listed in Perek HaMarcher as HaBayis and in our Perek HaMarcher as Svina. In Perek HaMarcher as HaBayis, the thing that you're selling, they're all karka. The bayis, the sod, the ear, are all karka. Therefore, normally certain items are not included, but if you wrote kol mashibataychus, so then those items that have some shaychus, at least in a slight way, to the karka, they're included with the karka. Mashi Yankin Arperk is speaking about a dover hametaltil, something that moves from place to place, like a boat and other items that will be mentioned in our perik. So there is no chilik between mecher and hegdish. By karka when you're selling, so then we say that if you're magdish it or you give it a matana, you're doing it by nyafa, you include those things as well. Mashi enkein, when we're dealing with metaltalin, unless you write kol mashi b'taycha, even if you're magdish it or give it a matana, we say it's not different than mecher. Whatever halacha will be by mecher will be by matana and hegdish as well, since the main item that you're selling is a thing that moves from place to place, there it's not automatically included other items that are metaltalin that are aboard the ship, unless you wrote in kol mashi b'taycha, even if you're speaking about hegdish or matana. Continues the Gemara to explain the different words in the Mishnah. Turin, what is that? Iskaria. This is a mast. The Rashbam brings down the old French word, with mem shin tes, mast. V'chein hu oimer. And so we find a pasuk in Yecheskel, where Yecheskel is speaking about the Anshei Tzor Tyre who are going to attack Klal Yisrael, and he compared they who were sailors and their business was seafarers, the shipping industry, so they were compared to a large boat. And the Yecheskel says, Erez Milvonain Lachu, they took a cedar from Lebanon, which is known to have tall cedar trees, Lasis Turin Alecha, to make a Turin against you. And the Rashbam explains, what's the one item in a boat that requires a large beam that would be taken from a large tree such as a cedar of Lebanon? That would be a mast on which we put the sail of the ship, which is the next item, Nais. That's included in the boat. What is Nais? Adra. Nais is a sail. It's made out of fabric. And so we find there in Yecheskel when he's describing that boat, Sheish Berikma, embroidered linen, Mimitzrayim, they brought from Mitzrayim, Hoya Mifrasheich Liyos L'cha Nais. That was spread out, Mifraseich, that was spread out for against you as a banner, as a sail. In other words, they use that for the sail of the boat that's going to attack Klal Yisrael. So what's the one item, the Rashbam explains, that's made out of a fabric on a boat that's made from this embroidered linen? That is the sail, as we find there in the Pasuk in Yecheskel. The next item that's included in the sail of a boat, Ugin, Tani Rabchia, Elu, Uginin Shalot. These are the anchors. And so we find in Rus, when Naomi is telling Rus, what are you going to wait till I remarry and have children? Halahain Tis Karena. Tis Berna. Are you going to wait for those boys to grow up? Arashe Yigdulu. Halahain Tiagena. Are you going to hold yourself back? You're not going to get married? So we see that the word teagena, like we have a woman who's an aguna, it means she's held back from getting remarried. She doesn't know if her husband has died or not, so she remains an aguna. So the word teagena means held back. So too, in a boat, the anchor is called an ugin. They're called an item which holds back the boat from moving in the water because it is anchored. So that is included in the sail of a boat. Also, manhigin, all the things that cause a boat to be driven. Amar Rababa, what does this refer to? Elu Hameshutin Shalot, these are the oars of the boat, V'chein Weimer, and so we find in that pasuk in Yecheskel. And here the Rashbam explains, we're not trying to prove what the word Meshutin is. We know that we're not trying to find a translation of the word, but we're trying to prove that Meshutin oars are included in the items that drive a boat, because in those days, the boats were driven by oars, but they were also driven by slaves running along the bank and pulling the boat with the ropes of the boat. So the Rashbam explains, I might have thought that the items that drive a boat are the ropes which the slaves are holding in their hands, and not the oars. The oars are secondary. We see for the pasuk in the Cheskel that they, when the Cheskel is describing the large boat of Tsur, and all the items in the boat that are included, he includes the oars. So we see that the oars are considered a fundamental part of the boat itself. That from Boshen, that place, they made your oars out of alonim is oak trees, or from another pasuk there in Yecheskel, they're going to come down from their boats, called Toifsei Mishrait, all those who are holding on, who have grasped the oars. So we see that oars are considered part of that boat, and therefore they're included in the sail. Tana Rabbanan, Amaychus Asvina, somebody who sells a boat, Macher Esha Iskula, he sold the gangplank, Ves Bor Hamayim, by the way, the word anchors, Uginin, the Rashbam brings down, Aleph Nun Kufreishin, Old French, this word anchors is brought down in the Rashbam. So now we learned in a Braisa that when you sell a boat, included in that is the gangplank. Ves Bor Hamayim, Shabbatarcha, the boat had a reservoir for fresh water because the water on the sea was salty, as the Rishbam explains. So therefore, they had to have a reservoir for fresh water. Rabbi Nosson Oimer, Rabbi Nosson says, Hamoichus Asvina, somebody sells a boat, Mochus Habitzis. He sold the beetzes. We'll soon see what this means. Sumchus Oimer, Sumchus says, Hamoichus Asvina, Mochus Adugis. He sold the dugis, and Omer Rava, Beetzis Haina Dugis. Rava says that beetzes and dugis are the same thing. What are beetzes and dugis? So the Rishbam says on the third wide line, Hainu Svinik Tana Shekhoshim Svinik Dog. This was a small boat that was tied up to the large boat, Ukisha Reutz and Laos Leaposha, when people wanted to go to the dry land from the big boat. They would enter the small boat from the large boat. Because of the depths of the bottom of the boat, it would get stuck in the mud. Therefore, the large boat could not get all the way up to the dry land. And therefore, people would have to leave the boat and the large boat and go into a smaller boat and make their way to the dry land. So actually, these two items, beetzes and dugis, the Gemara is saying, is really one and the same thing. Continues the Gemara. Why was it called different things by Rav Nosson and by Sumchus? So Rav Nosson, Bavlo Rav Nosson, came from Bavel, Havikor Lebitzis. He called these small boats Bitzis. Kedi Amrin, she has people said there in Bavel, Butzisa de Meshen. Meshen was a small river, the Rashbam explains, and the only way that you could travel on this river was to go into a small boat, and that was called Butzis. Sumchis, the Bar Eretz Yisrael, Sumchis, who came from Eretz Yisrael, Korlei Dugis, he called it Dugis, from the word Dug, these were fishing boats. Kedich Siv, as the Pasuk says, Vachrischen, those who come after you, your progeny, they're going to go into Golus, Besiros Duga, in boats that the Rashbam explains look like a seer, like a pot. They have that shape, and this shape enables them to travel very quickly on a river. And these were fishing boats, again, Duga from the word Dug, and they were made for swift movement on a river to catch fish. So the Navi Amos was telling Klal Yisrael that when the time of Golus comes, you're going to go not slowly into Golus, but you're going to go very quickly into Golus as personified by these fishing boats that looked like pots. That was their form, and they were very quick on the river. So Butzis and Dugis are exactly the same thing. They are included in the sail. And now we come to the famous stories of Rabba Bar Bar Chana, and let us make an introduction at this point. There, from here until the Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, there are a total of 21 stories that are known as the stories of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Actually, only the first 15 are concerning Rabba Bar Chana, and the final six have to do with other Tanoim and Amoroim. The Vilner Gaon wrote a pirish on six of these stories in a chibur that is called Pirish al Kama Agodois. And the six were the first five that we have here on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph going on to Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. And the sixth one is the 15th, which is the final one of the stories that have to do with Rabba Bar Bar Chana himself. Now, if you start the first story right here, it begins Omer Rabba. It doesn't say Rabba Bar Chana. In fact, the first four stories here on Amud Aleph and turning to Amud Beis are Omer Rabba. It isn't until the fifth story that we have where the Gemara says Beferish that it was Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana. And this is on Ein Gimel Amud Beis, three lines before it gets wide. There we see V'Omer Rabba Bar Chana, the first time Beferish and the Gemara mention Rabba Bar Chana. If you look a few lines up there on Ein Gimel Amud Beis, it says Omer Rabba, you have an Aleph, and on the side, Besar Shasha says that in the Gemara and Tzavachim, Kufi Gimel Amud Beis, Sham Isa Rabba Barachanan. So you have it in the Ein Yaakov. If you go back to Amud Aleph, Ein Gimel Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom, Omer Rabba, and if you look in the Besar Shasha, it's Ois Vav, Ein Yaakov, Isa Rabba Barachanan. Actually, if you look there in the Ein Yaakov, the first few stories have the Bar Bar Chana in parentheses. It isn't until the fifth story that where we in our Gemara have Rabbi Bar Chana Beferish, where the Ein Yaakov also has a Beferish. But it's interesting that the first story where we have in our Gemara Amar Rabba, in the Ein Yaakov, it says also Amar Rabba, and it doesn't have it even in parentheses. However, in the Gra, in his Pirish Al Kama Godleis that we mentioned, and we're going to refer to this Pirish in the Shir, the Gruz Girsa in all the stories, in all the first four, five, and six, all the stories that the Gra wrote his Pirish on, it says Beferish, not in parentheses, it says Rabba Bar Bar Chana, and so we will be referring to them as the stories, not of Rabba, but in fact of Rabba Bar Bar Chana, beginning from story number one, which we're starting at this time. Now, the stories that we are going to learn here, as we mentioned, and I'm going to be referring to a sefer put out by the present Rosh HaYeshiva of Yeshiva Sner Yisrael in Baltimore, Harav HaGaon Rav Aaron Feldman Shlita, famous book called The Juggler and the King, and he gives us a background for these stories. First of all, on the right side of his book, he has the sefer in Lashon HaKodesh, Pirush Al Kama Gadais, from the Vilna Gaon, so a person can see it in the original. He mentions that 30 years ago, at a street stand in Bnei Brak, I first came upon the slim Hebrew volume, which forms the basis of this book. Actually, this is 20 years since the book was written, so it's 50 years ago that Rav Feldman bought a little 20-page sefer, Pirush Al Kama Gadais, from the Vilna Gaon, and he says that very few books have had so major an impact on my thinking. They discuss the stories of Rabba Bar Bar Chana, and they also discuss the riddles, the chidos of the Savei Devei Atuna. And according to the Vilna Gaon, quoting from The Juggler and the King, these passages are literally a guide to the Jewish view of Hashem, life, and history, discussing why man was created, what motivates him, how he can recognize and overcome the evil within himself, what the purpose of the Jewish people is, why Jews have suffered throughout history, what the function of the era of Mashiach will be, and many other such seminal concepts. So in these 20 pages, the Vilna Gaon tells us a tremendous amount of hashgacha. And most of the stories, according to the Vilna Gaon, are a description of the Yetzer Hara within us and what the Yetzer Hara attempts to do to us. And as Rav Feldman mentions, that each of the following stories reveals an aspect of man's Yetzer Hara. Taken together, they form a mosaic of its characteristics. Once we learn to recognize the various manifestations of the Yetzer Hara within us, we will be well on our way to freeing ourselves of its domination. Now, the question over here, the main question that is discussed is whether these stories are true or not, because they're fabulous stories that seem like fables. And are they true or not? There are many different opinions in the Rishonim and Achronim. Some say that these are maasim that were made. They were true stories, but they were miraculous stories. Others say that they were stories, but Chazal, in order to teach us a moral lesson, exaggerated the exact details of the story. Others say that this was visions that Rabba Bar Bar Chana had in a dream, what a person thinks about in the daytime, he dreams about at night. And others say, the Rambam is of this opinion, that these were mishalim, that they were only examples that Rabbi Rechana made to teach us lessons about the Yetzer Hara and other important lessons. And the Ramchal brings down the Rambam and the Agdama to Pirush HaMishnayis, who says that this has to do really with the writing of Torah Shel Baal Peh. We know that Torah Shel Baal Peh was not supposed to be written, but Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, because of Eis Lasel Hashem, Hefer Sarsecha, he saw the Torah was going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. He had to write down the Torah. And the halacha wasn't the problem. However, the agada was a major problem, because if you would write down the deep hashkafas of the Torah, and Amoritz could misunderstand them. So not to write them would be a problem, as Rav Feldman explains in the Sefer. Not to write it, these concepts could get lost. To write it exactly, Amoritz could make a mistake. So therefore, it was decided by Chazal, they would be written down in a remez form, in a hint. And therefore, they would have some meaning on a Pashut level. And I'm not sure it's possible that there's really three levels to these stories. There's a very deep level, which perhaps only the G'dayli Ador pass on from one generation to the other. There is a deep level that's not the deepest level, which the Gra and the Marsha and other Meforshim, the Oilus Ephraim, different Meforshim, as we will see during our discussion, explain these stories. And then there's a simple level of reading the story, which an Amoritz would read as some kind of interesting story. But again, according to the Rambam, that's how the Ramchal goes, and the Maral Miprag, that these were hashkafa ideas that were put in a story form, which were a remez for the Talmid Chacham to understand on a much deeper level, and that they should not be forgotten totally, but they shouldn't be written beferish, so that Amoratzim should not make mistakes in them. And now we begin the first story of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Omer Rabba, and as we said, we're going to be goyrus, Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Ishtali Nechusa Yam, those who go down to the sea told me, Hai Gala, this wave, the Matbia L'Svina, that wants to drown a boat, Mischazi Kitsutsisa Denura, it looks like Tsutsisa from the word tzitzis, that on the fringe there is Denurichia Varta, there's white light, Beresha, on its tip, Umachinele, and you hit it, Bavalta, with clubs, the Chokik Allah that's engraved on it, three names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eka Asher Eke, and also the Shem Hashem Ka, and also the Shem Hashem Hashem Tzvakois, and also it says on it, Amen and Amen Sela. And when you hit the wave that wants to drown, capsize the boat with this club on which is engraved the Shems of Hashem, with Amen and Amen Sela, then Vinayach, then the wave subsides. So in all of these stories, we will mention at least some of the details, what the Hashkafa that lies behind it is based on the explanation of the Meforshim. The first story here, as the Gra explains, the metaphor of the story is that the sea is Olam Hazeh, the world that we're traveling on, and the purpose of a trip that people make, a business trip, is they want to be temporarily on the water, but they want to come back with merchandise, make profit. So the same thing, we're going through this world, which is daima to a yam, but our goal is to make profit, meaning that we should be able to get the schar in olam haba. The ship is man's body. The passenger on the ship is his neshama. The waves, the various waves, are the trials and tribulations of life. The largest wave that wants to actually capsize the boat is the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara is doma to a fire. The white that's on the tip, explains the Gra, is that the Yetzer Hara, sometimes he knows that he can't come to you with a grubba aveira, with an obvious aveira. He'll try to make it pure white, that, oh, I don't want you to do an aveira, I want you to do a mitzvah. And that's how he gets you to eventually do his will. How can you fight the Yetzer Hara? And actually, as we find the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Yitzayin Amud Aleph, that Ritzineinu Lasser Tzinecha, our will is to do the will of Hashem. What's Ma'akev, the source Shebeisa, the Yetzer Hara, the yeast that's in the dough, and Shibud Malchius, so, and the domination of the nations, we get affected from them. So what can help a Jew to fight these elements. So that is the three names that are mentioned here in the Gemara of Hashem. Ekesh or Ekesh shows that Hashem is with us in one story. He'll be with us in every golus that we go through. So that is the idea that Hashem is with us in every tzora, every golus. Then you have the Shem Hashem, Yud, and then a Hey. So we know that that's half of Hashem's name. And as we have, Rashi brings down in Chumash that Ein Hashem Shalem, Ein Akise Shalem, until Amalek is destroyed. Ki Yod Al Keis Ka Milchamis Hashem Amalek Midor V'dor. So this shows our Hashem's continuous war against Amalek, against the forces of evil. And that Hashem's name of Yud Kei Vavke will not be complete until Amalek is destroyed. So Hashem is always going to help us to fight the forces of evil in the world. Hashem Tzvakos, the third name of Hashem, means that Hashem must have his hosts, and his hosts includes Klal Yisrael. So Hashem is going to make sure that he will be complete only when he has redeemed Klal Yisrael and they have joined him. And then he is Hashem Tzvakos, with Klal Yisrael being his hosts, and no other ruler will dominate Klal Yisrael. This shows that there will be a Geula. How can this all happen? How do we have the schus of all the Shemus of Hashem? We have to do something. What do we have to do? We have to say Amen, as the Gemara says in Soita Daf Mem Tes Amid Aleph, that the world B'zman Hazeh has a key through the Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah that Klal Yisrael says. So that is the first Amen, and then Amen Selah. This shows that a person who says Amen in this world, it says that he will be zoicha to the everlasting Olam Haba, and Selah means forever. So this shows that Klal Yisrael will last, and we will last and get Olam Haba. It shows that we're going to get redeemed. So these are the schusim of the Amen that will bring the Geula. This is the first story, the way the Gra understands the metaphor of the story. Continues the Gemara with the second of the 21 stories, known as the Gra refers to them as Maisei, the stories of Rabba Bar Chana. Amar Rabba, again, we will be Goyris, Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Ishtarli Nechusi Yama, those who go down to the sea have related to me. Now, Bengala Legala Tlas Mea Parsi, there are 300 Parsois between one wave and another. The Ruma de Galo, and the height of the wave, Tlas Mea Parsi, is 300 Parsois. Now, do we have here a question whether the Sefer Tzofnes Panech put out by Rabbi Yo Gutmacher Zatzal, who writes that Gimel Meis is Lav Dafka, that's an exaggeration, but just to tell us the large space between one wave and another. However, the Gro and the Marshal learn that Gimel Meis here is Dafka. This is a precise number. So the height of the wave was Tlos Mea Parsi, was 300 Parsi. Zim Nechad at one time, Havazlinenburg, we were going on the way. Vidalin and Gala, and a wave lifted us up. Ad Chazina Bay, until we were able to see Marbate, the resting place, the Kaichova Zuta, of a small star, Vahavuli, Kimivzar Arboin Geruye Bazar de Chardola. And there was there a place where you could sow 40 measures of mustard seed. The E, Dalin and Tvei, if the wave would have picked us up anymore, Havimeklinan Mehavli, we would have become burnt from its heat. Veromilo Gallo Kolo Lechavrita, and the Rashbam says that's why it told us that there were 300 parsois between one wave and the other, to show how loud the sound was from one wave to the other. One wave expressed a kol to its friend 300 parsois away. A parsa is 8,000 amois, to give you an idea of how much 30 parsois is. So one wave gave a sound out to the other wave, and it says, V'ramalei galo kol chavrta chaverti, my friend, shafkas midi ba'alma, deloy shetafte, Did you are destroying the world. Did you leave anything over to be flooded? Didn't they say, no, that I should come, v'navdi, and that I should destroy it? Amalei, so the first wave answered, the second wave answered to the first wave. Amalei, puk chazi, see gvurta demar, see the strength of your owner, of Hashem. The afilu the Bach puts in mole chuta chala, a thread of sand. Veloy avri, I won't be able to go over a thread of sand that Hashem does not let me go over. Shenemer, how oisi loy siru no Hashem. You don't fear me, says Hashem. Imiponai loy sachilu. You don't have in front of me fear. Asher samti choil, I put sand gvul liyam as a border to the sea. Choik oilam, this is a rule forever. Veloy avirenu, and don't go over. Don't transgress this rule. Don't go over the border. You stay at the sand. What is the idea here of this story? According to the Gra, those that go down to the sea represents the people who pass through this world. The waves represent the Yetzer Hara, like we had in the first story of Rabbi Rochana. And the vast distance between one wave and the next one represents the amount that the Yetzer Hara will go through before he tries a new line of attack. And just to give one idea of this story, that each attack of the wave of the Yetzer is so powerful that it's almost unbelievable that anyone can withstand it. And therefore, one wave asked the other, was anything spared? When you attacked Klal Yisrael the first time, did you leave anything over? And the answer is that, as the Gemara tells in Kiddush, Naflam and Amid Beis, that B'chol Yoyim V'yoyim, every day the Yetzer Hara gets stronger and stronger on a person, and if not for the Siyat Rishmaya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Yochala, he wouldn't be able to overcome his Yetzer Hara. That's what the second wave answered the first wave, that I could really destroy Klal Yisrael. I could destroy the world, but what keeps me back is the sand. We find that the tzaddikim are referred to as the sand on the seashore, and it is the tzaddik who makes a stop to the wave, a stop to the Yetzer Hara. Tzaddikim are able to withstand the assault of the Yetzer Hara. That is one of the ideas that the Gra brings down in the second story. And now we begin the third story, and this is the story upon which the book is known as The Juggler and the King, and it is the story that I would like to spend the most time on in this year, and to show how beautifully the Gra explains every detail of the following story. And again, we're Gairus, and here we have, for the first time, that the Masar Sashas brings down, that in the Ein Yaakov, Esau, Rabba Bar Bar Chana, you see that in Masar Sashas, Ois Vav, Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, the third story. Now here it doesn't say that the people who go down to the sea told me, but rather, L'didi Chazile, I saw it. And Rav Gutmacher in his Tzoftes Panech says he saw it, he didn't hear it. And the Ritval learns that, as we mentioned before, he saw it in a dream. And especially when someone goes on an ocean voyage and he has time to be mizboning, to think, so he will think about all kinds of different things and then dream about it at night. And as we said before, perhaps this in fact was a chalom, a dream. Here is what he saw, or real for real, or he saw it in a dream. Or according to Ram, it's a mashal. Hurman bar lilas. So we'll learn first the pashup shot, and then we'll see how the Gra explains it. Hurman. The Rashbam says that his father told him three lines from the Bada, kach shemati ma'amori, that regards here, Hurman. But I heard, says the Rashbam, that it's Hurmiz with a Zion. And Hurmiz is a shade, a demon, as we find in Sanhedrin, Daflamatesamad Alf, Mipalga, the Tata, the Hurmiz. The bottom part of a person belongs to the god Hurmiz, and we will refer to this Gemara in Sanhedrin in a few minutes to give the background of our Gemara here. Hurmiz was a Persian god that was controlling the bottom part of a person. So I saw Hurman, or Hurmiz, bar Lilith. Lilith, Rashi tells us in Yeshaya, was a female shade, and she is the one that entices people to do illicit averis. Kikaroit, when Hurman, or Hurmiz, was running Akufya on the embattlements, the Shura de Mechuzah, on the wall of the city of Mechuzah, Veroi, Parsa, and a cavalryman was Kirachav, he was riding Cheyusa, an animal, Mitato, underneath that shade, who is on top of the wall, Veloyachale, he was not able to catch up with him. I will say the Rashbam's pshat. The Gro is going to say the opposite of the Rashbam. The Rashbam's pshat is that the shade was not able to catch up with the cavalryman who's underneath riding the animal. And the Rashbam says that the purpose of the story is to show two lines from the bottom. He doesn't let the shadim hurt a human being. But on the other hand, we see that a demon, a shade, could have an effect on a person. And therefore, the Gemara tells us that a Talmud Chacham should not go out by himself at night because the shade could have an effect on him. By the way, the Rashbam, around 10 lines up on where it starts, Omer Rabba Ishtoili says, Kol Hani Uvdi the Kachash of all these stories that we're going to learn now, the 21 stories, Mishum Marabu Masech Hashem, we're going to see the greatness of Hashem. Umehen Loidia Matan Schor and Shil Tzadikim Lasad Lavoi, we're going to see the Schar of Tzadikim in the future. Oy Lefarshim across the Murba Sefer Yiv, we're going to explain Psukim and Sefer Yiv. Hamadabrim Ba'oifis Gdom, big birds, Ubehemis Vedagim Gdolim, big animals and fish. Shekol Sichas Talmid Chacham Srikim Talmud. We have to carefully analyze all the words of Talmid Chachamim, even if they sound strange, some fantastic stories. We have to analyze them and understand the lesson, the moral lesson that Chazal are trying to explain to us. Back to the story at the bottom of the Amud. He was riding this horse, and the shade, even though the Rashbam explains that the cavalryman wasn't even aware that the shade is trying to catch up with him, but to the chesed of Hashem, the shade did not catch up to the cavalryman. Zim nechada one time have a misargon, there was saddled lay to the shade. Tarti kudnaisi, two mules, the kaimon, and they were standing, as we turn to the Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, achrei Gishrei the Rugnag. The Rugnag was a river, and they were, each mule was on one of the bridges of the river Rugnag. The Shoyer and this shade was jumping Mehailahai from one mule to the other mule, Umehailahai, back and forth. Vinokit, Trey, Mazgir Chamer, he had two cups of wine, Biyari in his hand, Umoyrik, and he's pouring Mahailahai from this cup to that cup, Umahailahai from that cup to that cup. Veloy Natva Nitifusa La'aro, and not one drop fell to the ground. So he's jumping from one mule to the other, and he's juggling wine, and not one drop is he's pouring from one to the other, and not one drop fell down. Voisayom, that day, Yalu Shemayim. The Pasuk in Tehillim was in the Skyim, where it speaks about people who go on a dangerous trip in the ocean, that they went up to the heaven, the waves were very strong, the waves carried the boat up to the heaven, Yorda Tohimus, they went down to the depths, Havim, Adishamu Bey Malchus, until the king heard, Vikatlu, and he was killed. Who was the king? So the Rashbam has two pshatim, either the king of the shadim, because this shade was revealing secrets, and that's not a proper thing, and that's why he was killed, Mibnei Shari Megalos Soidim, or the Rashbam says, it was speaking about Caesar, the king, he was afraid that this juggler would take away the malchus from him. This shade, he explains, was from a child of a person who had relations with a female shade, and he was living amongst people. So the king was afraid that he had these supernatural powers and he looked like a human being, and therefore he had him killed. So this is the simple pshat in the Gemara. How does the Gro explain this story? So Rav Feldman, in the book Juggler and the King, brings down the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Tesamen Aleph, that we quoted before, that a certain Persian wizard said to Amemar, the upper half of man belongs to Ahormez. He's the god of heaven. The bottom half belongs to Horman, or as we saw in the Rashbam, were Goyris, Hormiz, the god of earth. Amemar answered him, if so, why does Ahormez, the upper one, permit Hormiz, to transport food and drink through his territory? So Rav Feldman explains, that, and this is the way the Vilna Gaon understands him, that the Persian opinion of a person was that a man is a dichotomy. He's a contradiction. The lower half of a person which has his digestive system and his reproductive system. So that all seems to have to do with desire, taiva. The upper part of a person is his intellect. That seems to have to do with goodness, with intelligence, light, heaven. So the Persian answer was there were two gods. One god created the bottom half, that he wanted man to be like an animal. The other god created the top half, that he wanted man to be like godly. And that's why you had these two, and that's why there's contradictions in a person, because he has these two opposing deities that created two different parts of the person, of a person. And the Persians believe that the diaphragm that's located between the lungs and the stomach, approximately in the middle of the body, that was the dividing line between the earth god's domain and the heavenly god. So the upper half above the diaphragm belongs to Ahormes, and the bottom half belongs to Hormes. The Amemar said that if this is so, why does Ahormes allow Hormes to transport food and drink through his domain? The food that's digested by the lower half of man is brought into the system by the mouth and the esophagus, which is part of Ahormes' domain. The very same mouth which speaks about heavenly matters is also engaged in the mundane act of eating. So if that part was made by a heavenly god opposed to his earthly counterpart, that couldn't be, because he wouldn't let the food go down from the upper sphere into the lower sphere. It must be that you're wrong, but rather we're correct, that Hashem, there's one Hashem, he made both. The same mouth that says holy things, that learns Torah, that davens, that's the same mouth that eats. Because the most meaningful degree of experience exists when one draws close to Hashem in spite of the animal parts that pull at his body. Now, what happened, with this as a background, we can go back to the story, the way the Vilna Gaon explains it. I saw Hormes. And you know what Hormes was? He was bar lilas. He had become totally captured by the female demon, by Taiva, that she represents. And even his upper part, his intelligence, had been submitted to his lower part, to the part of Hormes. He became one piece of Gashmi. And he was riding on top of the wall of Mechuzah. Now, a wall, we find, the Vilna Gaon says, Ani Chayma Zu Taira. This is Taira. However, this was the Taira of Mechuzah. And Mechuzah, the Vilna Gaon brings down the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amid Aleph, that says, Makrin B'nei Gehenim. Although they were Shapira, they were very beautiful in Taira, but they're also to get Gehenim. Why? Because they learned Torah not for the purpose of doing the Ratz and Hashem, but rather they did it for their own purposes, that people should give them kavod. And the Yetzer Hara, the shade of Hormes, not only had his Gashmi has taken over his intelligence, but now he said, I see a new area where I can promote my evil, and that's in the world of Torah, in the world of the wall. I can be on top of the wall, and I could use Torah in a bad way, and that's why the people of Mechuzah are seeding that they're going to Yarsh and Gehenna, even though they learned Torah. Now, who was riding underneath the cavalryman? He was a tzaddik, he was a person, a Talmud Chacham, who subdued the animal. He was riding on top of an animal. He used Gashmis in the proper way, as the purpose of the Gashmis was for the Ruchnius. And according to the Vilna Gaon, it's not that the shade couldn't reach the cavalryman, but just the opposite. The cavalryman couldn't reach the shade. Why? So the Vilna Gaon says, because the cavalryman, the Talmud Chacham, who is subduing his Yetzer Hara, his Gashmias, his Bahamias within him, he has to always have a constant struggle. That struggle keeps him slowed down. The shade that's on top of the wall, who's learning, represented by the city of Mechuzah, so he's totally engulfed with the Yetzer Hara. And Mimela, he has no struggle. So when he's learning for the wrong reasons, he can move faster than the Talmud Chacham who has this constant struggle. As well, I learned the Vilna Gaon. And L'chayru, we could say that we could understand it better with the Michtav Melio. The Michtav Melio explains when the Gemara tells us in Kedushin that there's a certain Tana who served his mother in an unbelievable way of Kibbut Aveim, but he said, I didn't come to a hundredth of the Kibbut Aveim of Esav, her Russia. Explains the Michtav Melio, we know Esav Russia did it for the wrong reasons. He was mechabed his father in order that he should get the brachas from his father. He was mechabed his father, says the Michtav Melio, because he wanted his children to be mechabed him in his old age like he's being mechabed his father. He didn't do it l'shma, says the Michtav Melio. That's the very point. That since he didn't do it l'shma, a person who does something loy l'shma, a good thing, but for the wrong reason, the loy l'shma can propel him even stronger and quicker than when he does it l'shma. That's why Esav HaRosh, who did the Kibbut Aveim for the wrong reasons, was able to do it 100 times greater than that great tzaddik, that Tana, who was doing it l'shma for the right reasons. And perhaps that's the pshat here in this Gemara as well. The Shade, who represented the B'nai Mechuza, who were learning Torah for the wrong reasons, they were able to move much quicker because their loy l'shma propelled them to learn. The Talmud Chacham, who was battling with his the Talmud Chacham, who was doing it l'shma, he didn't have the same strength and quickness as the B'nai Mechuzu, who were being propelled by the loy l'shma. Zimnachar, one time, what did we find? We found that shade representing the B'nai Mechuzu, he was jumping around on two mules. Now, a mule is sterile. A mule cannot reproduce. What were the two mules, and what were the two glasses of wine that he held in his hand? So the Vilna Gaon explains that there's taiva, and then when a person, if he fulfills his taiva, then he goes to ego fulfillment, then he goes to covet. This is what the juggler, which represents the Yetzer Hara, was juggling between one cup and another, between taiva and covet. And explains Rabbi Feldman, explaining the Vilna Gaon, that a lot of times a person can say, is this all that life's about? Taiva and Kovid? What's going to happen when I leave this world and I have to face Hashem? How will I face Hashem if my whole life, even of Torah, was all loy l'shma, was all for Kovid? My whole life was either gratification of my pleasure principle or my ego fulfillment. And that causes him to not concentrate for a moment, and some of the wine will fall down. But this shade had become so engrossed in his covet and his taiva that he was able to take out of his mind 100% that there's a day after, there's a day of reckoning, there's a Yom Adin, and he was able to concentrate 100% that as he was juggling from one covet back to taiva and taiva back to covet, he was able to come to the level of total concentration that not one drop of wine fell on the floor. And on that day, then, you know which king it is, says the Gra. Not like the Rashbam learns the king of the Shadim, the Caesar, but rather Melech Malchi Amlochim. Yalu Shemaim Yeredu Tarmis. On that day, if a person came to such a level that he doesn't even think for a moment, nothing distracts him from his evil ways. So then on the day when the Neshama goes to heaven, and the Guf goes to earth, and the Vilna Gaon says, when he was bouncing between covet of learning that brings him to the top, and then taivis that go to the bottom of to the tohoim, the day came when Hashem said, we have to take the life of such a sinner, we have to take away, and his neshama is going to go with his Guf, and not make it to the upper spheres, but rather be, unfortunately, in Gehenim, as Chazal said that the B'nai Mechuzah are B'nai Gehenim. So learns the Vilna Gaon this powerful lesson, so that we have to take out from this that even when we learn Torah, we have to make sure it's for the right reasons to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Continues the Gemara with the fourth story of Rabbi Baruch Hanna. Amar Rabbah, and here we have again the Ayin Yaakov who puts in the Masar Sashat's Rabbi Baruch Hanna, L'Dadi Chazali Urzila. I saw a... The Radak tells us this is a unicorn. Others say it's a mountain goat, a gazelle. Tyson's Zvachim Lefkufi Gimel Amabes tells us he brings proofs that it's not, as some would say, a buffalo, but rather it is, the Rashbam brings here, it is the Re'em. I saw a Re'em, this unicorn, bar yoyim, one day old, the havik har tabor. It was as big as har tabor. The har tabor, you want to know how big har tabor is? Kama havik. Arba pars was four parsi. The marsha, the gro, and the anyak of the gemor and zvachim kufi gimel bay says arba in. It was 40 parsa. Umashacha, the length of tavarta of the neck, tlosa parsi was 3 parsoyim. Ubei marbasa, its resting place, the ratio of its head, parsa palka was 1.5 parsoys. Rama Kufta, it excreted dung. Visachal eliyarna, it stopped up. It blocked the whole Yarden River until, the Rashbam says, until it dissolved the water, the pure water, dissolved this excrement of the Re'em. Explains the Vilna Goyen that what this is trying to say is, when Moshe Rabbeinu gave a brach in Dvorim, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Karne Re'em Karnav by Yosef, that his horns are those of a Re'em. This refers here in our Gemara to I saw an Urzilo, a Re'em, Bar Yoim, he was only one day old. He's a Bacher, but he's already fighting with his horns. He thinks he knows everything. He thinks he can challenge the greatest Talmid Chachamim. He thinks he's like Har Tabor, just like Har Tabor was not zeicha to have the Torah given on it because of its gaiva. It was only given on Har Sinai. So too, he thinks he's like Har Tabor. Har Tabor, how big is it? Not Arba Parsi, but like the Gro and the Marsha say, Arba in, 40 Parsi. A person doesn't get knowledge until he's 40 years old. He thinks, as a young Bacher, he already has the knowledge of a 40-year-old elderly person, and he can challenge the biggest Talmid Chachamim. So he has this tremendous gaiva. And his head is 3 parsoas. The Gemara further, on Daf Ayin Hamid Bey, says that the Ananim are 3 parsoas above the earth. So he has his head in the clouds. And his resting place, it should be outside of the Machne Yisrael. The width of the Machne Yisrael is 3 parsoas. But his resting place is 1.5. And as half of the Machne Yisrael, exactly where Moshe Rabbeinu is, he thinks that instead of being on the periphery of Klal Yisrael, which he's a Bacher, that's where he belongs, he should be right smack in the middle. And when he saw he's not getting the cover that he thought he deserves, so he went from Gaiva to Kinna of Talmid Chachamim, and then he besmirched the Talmid Chachamim. That's what it means, Rama Kufta. He excreted the excrement. However, after a while, the pure waters of the Yarden River were able to dissolve this dirt and schmutz that he had thrown at the Talmid Chacham. So we see when a person has gaiva, it leads to kinna, and the kinna later can lead to bezoyin of Talmid Chacham. Continues the Gemara with the fifth story of Rabbi Baruchana. Va'amar, and here for the first time we have Beferish in the Gemara. Va'amar Rabbi Bar Baruchana. L'didi chazli ahu akruksa. I saw a frog. Dahavya ki akra dahagunya. I saw it was like a city. Akra dahagunya. Va'akra dahagunya kamahavya. How big is akra dahagunya? Shitimbati 60 houses. Asa tanina. A sea monster, a snake came. Bolo. And swallowed up the frog. Asa push gunsa. A female raven came with Bolotin and ate up the sea monster. Vesalik, it flew up. Yosibulon on a tree. Tochazi, come and see. Come and Novishkela, how strong that tree, the Ilan, that how strong the branch of the tree is. Amar Papa Bar Shmuel, who came from Bavel, he said, Eloi Havoy Hasim, if I wouldn't have been there, Loi Himni, I would not believe what I have seen. Explains the Vilna Goyen, what is the homily of this fifth story? Talmid Chacham are compared to frogs, just as frogs are never quiet, day or night, so too the Talmid Chachamim continuously learn Torah day and night. A great Talmid Chacham has mastered all 60, that's what we said here, there were 60 houses, or the 6th Dorm of Mishnayos, or the 60 Mesechtes of Shas, and the sea monster is the Yetzer Hara, that distracts Talmid Chachamim from their studies, and wants them to be Isaac and Gashmias. But the female raven was able to overcome it, meaning the Chazal say that the female raven is the only one who doesn't feed her young. Hashem has to prepare food for the children of the raven. So too, a person who has total emunah and betachon on Hashem, Hashem will prepare for him a zevulon, a businessman who will share his money, and he's compared to a tree. Eitz chaim hilamachzikim ba. And in Bavel, the wealthy people were not accustomed to supporting Torah on the same level as the people in Eretz Yisrael. So our Papa, Rav Shmuel, who came from Bavel, when he saw that this raven, the person who didn't feed his family, but he got support from a tree. There was a Zvulun who made a partnership with him, and he supported him. He never saw such a thing in Bavel. He said, if I wouldn't have seen it, I wouldn't have believed it. So we see the importance of supporting a Talmud Chacham, and we see that a real Talmud Chacham is the one who's able to persevere and learn and not be distracted by Parnassa, which is a tremendous level of Amunah and Betachat. The sixth story of Rabbi Ruchana. V'yomer Rabbi Ruchana, Zimnechad, one time, Havakazilna Besfint, I was going in a boat, V'chazinan Hahukiver, I saw a fish, the Yasvalei, Ochlatina, there was a small creeping thing, Be'usia, in its nostril, and the Bach puts in the word, and it caused it to die. The Rashbam says that this is the kilbis, which is a small insect, where one of the three fears is cholosh al giber, where a weak thing can make a strong one be afraid. That's the Amos kilbis al Yassin. Even the Leviathan is afraid of this little creature moving around. So it died, and the water has a tendency to repel any dead thing. So vatchu maya, the water expelled the dead fish. Vishaju laguda, and it threw it out to the shore. V'charuv minei shita mechuzay, and 60 cities were destroyed because of it. V'ochu minei shita mechuzay, and 60 cities ate from its flesh. U'molchu minei shita mechuzay, and farther away cities salted its flesh and took it to their cities to eat. U'molchu michad galgladein, and from one eyeball they were able to fill tlos mea garbi, 300 barrels, mishra, of oil. V'chi hadron l'basa teresa yarechi shata. When we came back after 12 months, chazinu, we saw the havaka minsri, they were cutting the garmi from its bones, metalosa beams, viyasvi, they were settling down, lemevninu hanach mechuzay, to rebuild those cities. And what is the pshat in this story? So we find in the Oil of Sephraim, Simon Tuf Kuf Mem Zion, that here we're going to have a few stories of fish. In each story, the Oil of Sephraim explains the fish in a different way. Here he explains that the fish represents a tzaddik. And we find in Kehelis Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Beis, the pasuk says, Ki gam lo yeda ha'adam es ito kidogim shenachazim tzuda ra, that people don't know the day that they're going to leave this world, like fish that are caught in a net. And this tzaddik here is dying because of a small creeping thing. This represents a small avera. And what the Gemara is explaining here, without going into all the details, Ayin and the Oil of Sephraim for explanation of the other details, but the idea is that these various cities were reacting to the death of the tzaddik in different ways. Ayin Shum in the Oil of Sephraim. Continues the Gemara with the seventh story. V'amar Rabbi Ruchana, Zim Nechada, one time Havakazina B'Sfint, I was going on a boat. Chazina Hu Kivra, I saw a fish. The Yasle Chalta, that there was sand agabe on its back. V'kodach Agamo Ilave, and a meadow came out on top of the sand, which is on the back of the fish. Savrinan, we thought, Yabeshti, that there was an island there. It was dry land. V'salkinu, we went up, v'afinu bashtinu l'gabei, and on its back we baked and we cooked. V'kadchas gabei, cham gabei, and when the back got very hot, is hapach, it turned over, and v'ilav, the havim makarvas fintiv, there was not a boat nearby, havetavinu, we would have gotten drowned. So here the Oil of Sephraim explains that Rishoyim appear like they are friendly with you, they'll get close to you. That's here the fish is representing not a tzaddik, it's representing a rasha. But when they get in the heat of things, they're able to kill you. The Yeshua is the boat, which is Hashem, Korav Hashem, L'chol Korav. And now we begin the eighth story of Rabbi Baruch Hanna. V'amar Rabbi Baruch Hanna, Zim Lechada, one time I was leaning with Sfinta, I was going on a boat. V'sagoi Sfinta, and the boat traveled, Bein Shitzo L'shitzo, between one fin and another, the cover of a fish, so 3 days and three nights, Iyu Bizakifa, the fish was going against the wind, Vanan Bishapul, and we were going with the wind, Vechit, and yet it took us 3 days between the end, one fin at the top of the fish and one fin at the bottom of the fish, Vechit Hemele Mazgis Fintatuva, if you're saying that the boat did not move a lot, Ki Osir Avdimi, when Avdimi came, Omar Ki Mecham kumkuma demaya, the amount of time that it took to heat up a pot of water, mazge, the boat moved shittin parsi, 60 parsos, as we explained before, a parsa is 8,000 amas, so 8,000 times 60, that's how far it went, in the time that it, that's how fast it was traveling, in the time that it took to heat up a pot of water, vishade parsha gira, and when somebody on the dry land would shoot an arrow, vikadmale, on the water, the boat was able to move faster than the arrow that was shot. Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi said, you think that fish was a big fish? Hahu gildena the yama. This is called the gildena the yama. That's of the sea. That's the name of this fish. Havoy the islay tre shetzi. It has two fins in the beginning and the end. And the Rashbam says it's one of the small fishes. So the again the Oilus of Fram here explains that the dog represents umus oilum. The fins are sharp. They represent the source of Kol Yisrael. The 3 days represents the 3 days, like by Esther tsoimu alai shloshes yamim. In other words, that Kol Yisrael can be goyver on top of the umus oilum, and the arrow represents the arrow that the Yetzirah tries to make into a veris, and they have the kurva. They through tinus of 3 days and through the siyat rishmah Hashem, they can overcome the enemy and the yetzer hara. The Amar Rav Ruchana, the ninth story, Zim Nechana one time, Havazlina Besfinti, we're going on a boat, Chazina Hut Sifra, we saw a bird, Dekoyim Ad Kartzuli was up to his ankles, b'maya, in water. V'resh v'rki, its head was in the heaven. V'amrinin, and we said, lekamaya, there's no water here. We see the water's only going up to the ankles. V'inin, lehavos, leukuri nafshin. We wanted to cool ourselves off, so we wanted to go swimming. V'nafik baskol, a baskol came out of Armelon. Lo yisechusu, hocha, don't go down there. D'naflis le chatzitza lebarnarga, a axe fell from a carpenter. Hoshev Shni, 7 years, like Hamachar, had never reached the ground yet. V'lav Mishum Dunafishamai, not because there's a lot of water there, El Mishum Duratfemai, because the water is in very strong movement. So the Oilus of Fram explains that this has to do with the learning of Kabbalah, that this was a young Talmud Chacham with his head in the sky, Gaiva, and the ankles were in the water of Kabbalah. And they thought that it's not deep, and they were told it's very deep, and really it belongs only to Hashem. As the Pasuk now is going to say, Amar Rav Ashi, Hahu Ziz Sadi, this thing that's called the moving of the field, who, that's what this bird was, Dichsiv, Ziz Sadai Imadi, it's with me. In other words, this deep learning of Kabbalah, don't think that it's up to the ankles because it's not deep, it's very deep. The axe fell down and it still hasn't reached the ground. However, the bird, the Gaivadika bird, he only can understand the Kabbalah up to his ankles. That's what it was, that was the idea of the bird, that the water's only up to the ankles. But as far as you're concerned, stay away, because this is something, the depths, the Sisrei Torah, are something that belong imadi with HaKadosh Baruch himself. V'Amar Rav Ruchana, story number 10. Zim Nechada, one time, Avachazin B'Midbar, we were going in the desert. V'Chazin HaHana, obviously, we saw geese. The Shamtik had fired that their feathers were falling out, Mishamnaya, from their fat. V'Konag, there was flowing, Nachle the Misha, Mishcha, rivers of fat, Mitusar, from under them. Aminu Lahu. So I said to them, Rabbi Berkhan said, Isli begavaycha chelka la'amadas. He saw that this is represents schar in olam abo. So chada doli got for one goose raised its wing. V'chada doli atmo. And one, v'chada doli li atmo. One lifted up the thigh. So the marshal explains that they were telling him it's not enough to learn, but you also have to do hands, foot, you have to action in order to get Olam HaBoa. Because of these geese that are suffering, the Rashbam says they have Tzar Bal Chaim, you're not doing the mitzvahs properly, you're not allowing Mashiach to come, and Mela, they're having Tzar, that they cannot give their fat, their bodies as schar. This represents the schar of Olam HaBoa. So Yisrael is going to get the din. Why didn't you do the mitzvahs? Why didn't you learn Torah? Why didn't you hasten the coming of Mashiach so that the schar could be given? And the final story that we will learn today in today's shir is the 11th story. V'yomer Rav Chana Zimna Chada. One time, Rav Chazir Bamidbar was going in the desert. V'itulei Badon, and they accompanied Asahu Taya, this Arab merchant. The Havishak Lafri was taking earth. Umayrachle was smelling it. V'amar Ha'orich L'Duchtaplan. This is the road to that city. V'ha'orich L'Duchtaplan. This is the road to that city. Amri Le, we said to him, Kama Mecharkin Mimai. How far are we from water? V'amar Lon Havli Afri. Give me earth, and I'll tell you. Yavin Le, we gave him earth. V'amar Lon. Tamni Parsi, you're 8 parsos away. Tanina, we repeated. Avinale, we gave him water, we gave him the earth again. Amalon, the Mecharkin, plus the parsos. Now you're only 3 away. Afrisle, we changed the earth around. Veloyachilisle, we weren't able to better him. In other words, every time we gave him the earth, he passed the test. And on this story, the Meforshim don't seem to offer deep explanations. It seems to be more rather the simple pshat as we have it in this final story in today's shir.